The sports desk at the Columbus Dispatch presents the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
With your host, Ohio State basketball beat writer Adam Jardy.
Brandon Batista, give me the rock. Here it goes. Up, up, and away. Slam jam, bam. And now he does a little dance.
Now, the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
The Buckeye Extra Podcast is brought to you by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company.
Hello, everyone. This is Adam Jardy from the Columbus Dispatch. Today is Wednesday, September 8th, 2021. It's my official duty to welcome you into episode 216 of the Buckeye Extra Men's Basketball Podcast. Welcome to Jubilation City. And since we're on episode 216, shout out to the 216. Shout out to Cleveland. Shout out to all the Buckeyes from Cleveland. Shout out to my family who lives in Cleveland. And shout out to Bernie Kosar and Grady Sizemore, my two favorite Cleveland athletes. So we got some stuff to talk about here. Coming to you from the Jardy house, sitting here at my desk. I got the window open. There's a nice breeze blowing through. It is officially starting to feel like fall. It's a glorious time of year. It's the best time of year to run. I hope you're enjoying the weather wherever you are, because it's just been fantastic here in Central Ohio. And we have a couple of things to talk about today. And the first is that we've got some injury updates to two key players. And second, the Big Ten dropped the full schedule for the season this year. It makes sense. Today at 2 p.m. in a somewhat incomplete broadcast on the Big Ten Network. But at any rate, we're going to break down those injuries, their impact on the start of the season. And then I'm going to go down what I think are the five biggest games of the Big Ten season for Ohio State. So we do have a couple of good things to talk about here, as we are, I believe, 61 days from the start of college basketball this season. The first game is, I believe, it's either 61 or 62 days. I probably should have looked that up in advance, but we're getting closer is the point. And while we're getting closer, I want to remind you, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google, wherever else you enjoy the finest of podcasts. We are inching closer to the start of the 2021-22 season. And when you subscribe, you'll automatically get the newest ones as soon as our man Patrick Flaherty, the Podfather, publishes them. While you're subscribing or downloading, please leave a review, please click five stars, and please consider telling a friend. So here's the injury news that Ohio State released Tuesday afternoon. The official release states, quote, Meechie Johnson has a lower leg injury and is expected to return for preseason practice. Seth Towns will undergo back surgery soon and is likely to return this season within 3 to 4 months. So let's take these in order of seniority. And that means we're going to start with Seth Towns. So I had wondered if something was up with Seth. If you follow Ohio State on social media, if you follow the program on social media, they have posted some videos, a couple of little things here and there of like Joey Brunk scoring in the paint against Zed Key, and try to think of some of the other clips, just guys hitting shots, guys playing hard, typical this time of year type of stuff. And there was one highlight that you could see in the background that Seth Towns was not dressed. And so that kind of had me wondering. I hadn't heard anything definitive, but we get the word, like I said, on Tuesday that he's going to undergo back surgery. So the good news here, and there is good news in this, this has nothing to do with the knee. And we know the ups and downs that Seth has dealt with his knee since his sophomore year at Harvard. He was dealing with some back issues down the tail end of the season last year, something that he was kind of working through and struggling through, in addition to trying to get the knee back to full strength. The knee is good. I've actually heard that he feels physically as well as he has felt in years with the knee. So this has nothing to do with that. It's a separate issue involving his back. And the belief is that he will be on the court playing in games for Ohio State sometime in December. That's sort of the timeline here. So obviously, if you can stretch the timeline out 3 to 4 months, you know, we're sitting here in mid-September. That could take you into January. But they're optimistic that he'll be back on the court sometime in December. And I always come back when I think about Seth and what his 2 years at Ohio State might ultimately mean to him and mean to the program. I had an interview with him after he played in his first game for Ohio State, when he played in the win against UCLA up in Cleveland in the CBS Sports Classic last year. And he told me something that he repeated to me something he had said during a podcast during the summer. I believe it was with Andy Katz, where he said that when asked like what Ohio State fans were going to get from his time at Ohio State or what they were going to see from him at Ohio State, he said that they would see how much it means to him to play for Ohio State and what it means for him to put on that jersey and to get that opportunity. And he was pretty candid throughout the year last year that he was not at full capacity. He was not at full strength. This was a process that was going to take a while. But the belief was that all that work and all that effort was going to pay off for the 2021-2022 season, that it would be we would get to see sort of the full Seth Towns experience. And this obviously puts a bit of a damper on that. I mean, he's going to miss maybe a quarter of the season potentially, and that's tough. But I do think that when he is able to play and being fully healthy with the knee for the first time in a long time, I still believe that that opportunity is there. That we're still going to see a healthy Seth Towns. Show Ohio State fans what it means to him to have the opportunity to play for the Buckeyes. I still think that's in play. I still think that's within the realm of possibilities for Seth. And I think we saw that last season at times, you know, when he was forced into a bigger role in the Big Ten tournament, especially after Kyle Young went down with a concussion, we saw some glimpses of it. And he played more minutes than he had played in years. And it was physically demanding on him, but it mattered to him. I felt like sitting there in that arena watching him, you could tell. And I think that's the Seth Towns that we are going to see when he does get on the court, hopefully, you know, sometime here in December. It was kind of funny. He posted a screenshot from SpongeBob SquarePants, and I'm not a big SpongeBob guy. My family knows that I had a long-running hatred of SpongeBob because one of my summer jobs when I was in college, I was stocking shelves at Meijer. And we did everything that wasn't food. And it wasn't the most glamorous job. I was getting there at, 5 in the morning. I was doing that during the day and I was delivering pizzas at night. And when I was, you know, sleep deprived and stumbling through mire, trying to just put stuff on shelves and organize things, SpongeBob was in every single department. It didn't matter if I was stocking shelves in auto, in electronics, in toys, in housewares. There was something SpongeBob everywhere. And that just really started to get to me a little bit. So I've never exactly had the greatest relationship with SpongeBob, but I can understand like the humor in it. So I saw this picture that Seth posted and I had to do a little bit of research, but it was some random character. There's SpongeBob and the other guy, Gary. I can't remember. They're like in crutches and they knock on someone's door. And this was the picture that Seth had posted was this character from SpongeBob, who tells them, "I was born with glass bones and paper skin. Every morning I break my legs, and every afternoon I break my arms. At night, I lie awake in agony until my heart attacks put me to sleep." And it's a character like in a full body cast and like wearing a breathing mask, and then it falls down the stairs. And I thought that was pretty funny. Clearly, Seth alluding to, you know, being bit by the injury bug once again. But again, I think that there's a lot of confidence that he'll be full go come December, and we'll get to see at least a good portion of the season what a healthy Seth Towns can contribute to this team. And the question now is, how does this impact the rotation? Because I think that assuming full health for everybody, what we saw from Seth down the stretch last year tells us that you could expect decently big things from him this year. So with him out of the running for the immediate future, I look at it at the roster and I see three other guys who could legitimately play the four, which I think is where Seth is sort of best suited. I think that's where he would play for Ohio State the majority of the time. And I see EJ Liddell, Kyle Young, and Justice Suing as all being options at the four. With Kyle out for the final 3.5 games of last season, KenPom.com like breaks down like a team's most used lineups over its last 5 games. So at the four last season for the last 5 games, KenPom had Seth Towns logging 38% of the minutes at the four, Justice Suing logging 31% at the four, and Kyle Young 23%. So Seth being at the four allowed Suing to play 46% of his time at the three. So kind of factoring all that in here, we know that EJ's playing the four this year. That's been made abundantly clear throughout the whole process of him coming back to Ohio State and what his role is going to look like. He's going to be a four. And I feel like that his return has the biggest impact on Seth's minutes, because I think ultimately we see Justice Suing play a lot at the three. And I think we'll see with Zed Key and Joey Brunk holding down a lot of minutes at the five. I think that creates more opportunity for Kyle to play at the four, maybe behind EJ. So without Seth, I think that at least for the first month of the season, it's going to look somewhat similar to last year. But instead of Seth logging 38% of the minutes at the four, swap EJ Liddell in there and assume that number is going to climb up a little bit. And then from there, you have Kyle backing him up and potentially Suing. But maybe this means that Suing has to play some more at the four, leaving a few more minutes at the three. And maybe that's where we see maybe some three guard lineups. I still think Justin Arns is a potential three, or at least a guy who can sort of play that role when there's two other natural guards on the court. But then the question becomes, what does it look like when Seth returns? If Kyle is playing the four, if we learn that Kyle Young can play the four while Zed Key or Joey Brunk play the five, and you're dealing with Seth maybe being behind Liddell and Kyle and Justice potentially, I think that means you see Justice play maybe exclusively at the three, because then I don't think they need him to take any minutes at the four if you have EJ, Kyle, and a healthy Seth. So then it becomes, do we see like Kyle's minutes get cut a little bit? Or are we just destined for Seth to be maybe in an 8 to 10 minute a game role firmly behind those two guys? And I don't know. And this is, again, assuming full health of everybody. We've not seen Kyle Young go through a full season without suffering some sort of injury that's taken him out for a period of time. So I think that this collection of depth and talent that they have, you would hope, is able to cushion an injury loss or even maybe two injury losses. But I do think that it will be interesting when he comes back to see the impact that it might have on Kyle Young's minutes, to see if that allows, like I said, Justice Suing to play more at the three. And does that diminish someone else's minutes that they were getting there? Because I don't think any of this impacts EJ Liddell's minutes. I think he's going to play as much as they can play him. And I think that the emergence of Zed Key and the addition of Joey Brunk means you don't need those guys to hold down the five, although you could. And I think we'll see some of that this season. But I think ultimately we're going to see an interesting mix in the rotation between when Seth Towns is back, how does Seth's minutes impact Kyle Young's minutes, and how does that impact Justice Suing's minutes as they try to figure all these working pieces together. Now, the other injury news, as I mentioned, is that Michi Johnson won't be doing anything between now and the start of practice. And this is more of a precautionary thing. He's dealing with a stress reaction in his right leg. He told me during the summer when I saw him at the Kingdom Summer League that sort of like a tibia situation. We'd seen pictures of him in a walking boot. When I saw him, he was not wearing a boot. And I saw him jump and do things like that, but they're just kind of trying to manage a workload right now because you don't want a stress reaction to turn into a stress fracture. And Kyle Young could tell us a lot about that. So they're playing it safe with him right now and letting him heal and rest. This is a guy that, couldn't play for a year, almost a year and a half after, his knee injury, at the end of his, when he was in high school, and he was out for a lengthy period of time before he started working his way back in at Ohio State. And this is a dude that is not afraid of hard work, as we've seen in the various videos he's been able to post of all the stuff he had to do just to get back on the court. And then he gets to Ohio State as, a kid who graduates a year early. And there was a lot of work that needed to happen just to get him to a level where he could play in the Big Ten. And when you're coming off a lengthy layoff like he was, I think you have to be extra cautious about overdoing it and too much too soon. And what can the body realistically handle? So I'm not surprised to see they might have to back off just a little bit here with Michi. I think it's a tough little bit of a blow for him right now because they can't do a lot at the moment. Like they're limited to 8 hours a week of team instruction, team work, and things like that. Obviously, it picks up once they start practice, but you know, there's not, he's missing some stuff, but it's not like missing a full week of practice like during the season. But these are our opportunities to build those bonds and that camaraderie with your teammates. And on a team where the backcourt is so in flux right now, this is a good opportunity for someone to kind of enter camp as a favorite, you know, for whatever role, whether it's the one or the two. And I've sort of penciled Michi in as a starter. I felt that it's realistic to think that he could play alongside Jamari. And then maybe that allows him to take Cedric Russell off the bench. Maybe that allows Malachi to come off the bench. I did see ESPN projected Justin Arns as a starter at the two alongside Jamari Wheeler, which is an interesting thought to me. I think, as I mentioned earlier, I think Justin has to show more all-around game in order for him to be a starter. But he's certainly going to play an important role on this team. So with Michi out, I think that this probably, it's a benefit to Cedric Russell, who now has an opportunity to spend more time getting to know his new teammates. He did not get to Ohio State until mid-August. That's the first time he had been to Ohio State. And he's just now kind of getting to know his teammates and to see how he fits in. So that certainly is it frees up some more reps for Cedric at this point. It also frees up, I would think, even though Gene Brown's never really going to be the point guard, but when you remove one guard from the rotation, this maybe gives some more opportunities for Gene as well as he continues to work his way back from missing most of the spring with COVID. So I think that's another guy that maybe this benefits a little bit. And I think you can give the edge to Jamari at this point as the opening day starter at the one. And I realize that can change. And I realize once they get to camp, who knows? But when you're talking about a fifth year Big Ten gritty dude, and Michi coming off missing some time here, I think Jamari probably enters camp as the perceived starter at the one. And Michi will have, I would think, every opportunity to win that job. And I still think all conversations I've had seem to indicate that they think Michi's poised for a breakout year. Like this is, I think people are going to take notice of Michi Johnson by the end of this season. I think the injury maybe dials everything back just a little bit because you are missing when you're young and you're missing those reps in that time. I think that's a thing. I don't think it's the thing, and I don't think it means that you write off the entire season. You just hope that when they start camp, he's able to go full go and really start to cement himself as a go-to player on this team. Because I think that's what when they drew up the roster for this season, looked at what they have, I think that's part of the expectation that Michi's going to be one of those guys. So we're sitting here today where practice could start. The teams are allowed 30 practices over 42 days. So 42 days prior to Ohio State's first game would be September 28th. That's less than 3 weeks from now. So get ready because that means in about 3 weeks, we should have Ohio State team media day. Within a week or two after that should be Big Ten media day. And things are just going to really start rolling very quickly. So get excited. Get your rest now. Been trying to do a little bit of that myself. But yeah, we're about 3 weeks away from full-on practices actually getting started.
You have to stand behind a statement like the best buying experience in the business. At Rosati Windows, their commitment to the customer has not changed since day one. Mike Rosati realizes that people have options when choosing replacement windows, which is why he appreciates each and every one of their customers. At Rosati Windows, they pride themselves on their very high standards of business ethics and customer satisfaction. They are accredited with an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau, a top business with Consumer Choice, and voted by Central Ohio as the best in business in the window category with the Columbus Dispatch. The list goes on and on, but it's important to point out that their customers voted for Rosati Windows for these awards, and it's why they can make a statement like, Rosati Windows is the best buying experience in the business.
So in the other piece of news, today the Big Ten unveiled its complete 2021-2022 college basketball schedule. It had a half an hour show on the Big Ten Network, during which we got 15 of Ohio State's 20 games, and the rest were announced at 2:30 when the show ended and they put out press releases. So it was a little bit of a frustrating viewing experience. Not every team saw as many as 15 games announced. Some only saw a couple. They kind of highlighted the teams that they sort of expect to be near the top of the standings. And I do think Ohio State's going to enter as a top four team in the Big Ten. I bought the Athlon Sports preseason magazine earlier this week, and they have Ohio State, I believe, third in the Big Ten, and have E.J. Liddell projected as Big Ten Player of the Year. Kyle Young's on the cover of that. That's out on newsstands, so you can go pick that up and add it to your Ohio State collection. But so we finally have the 20-game Ohio State men's basketball schedule for the Big Ten this year. So with that and the non-conference schedule, I can finally start making babysitter plans, and we can all start figuring out what's important or which games are going to be the most crucial, where this is all going. What, you know, it's fun to start thinking ahead and looking ahead. And with that all in mind, I came up with five games that I think are the most intriguing to me when I look at the full Ohio State schedule. And it starts for me at number five. This doesn't sound like a great one on paper, but on Thursday, January 27th, Ohio State goes to Minnesota. And I'm excited about this, not just because there's two amazing record stores in Minneapolis that I like to frequent when I'm there, but Ohio State has – I've never seen Ohio State win at Minnesota. And granted, they've not played there every year, but I've not really seen Ohio State play well there ever. And far more talented Ohio State teams have gone to the barn and lost to far less talented Golden Gophers teams. It's one of two arenas that Chris Holtmann has not won at. He's also not won at the Breslin Center at Michigan State. Minnesota should be bad. They have a new coach, rebuilt roster. I have no real expectations for what the Gophers will look like this season. And so when I think about, I mean, we don't know what Ohio State is going to be looking like when we get to the end of January. We're really kind of in the grind of the Big Ten. But to me, that's an opportunity where this team can do something that prior Ohio State teams have not done, and take care of business in a tough road environment, but a game that you should win. I'm very interested to see how they handle that test, because like I said, very talented Ohio State teams have gone there and just not been competitive. So that for me, that's number five, January 27th at Minnesota. On February, number four, I'm going to go with February 24th, Ohio State goes to Illinois. And that game at Illinois last year was a fascinating game to me because they really frustrated Kofi Coburn, and Io DeSumo didn't really get untracked, and Ohio State out, you know, landed a bunch of early haymakers and just rode that out for a win. I thought that it was a coming out party for E.J. Liddell in some ways. He always plays well against his home state school. That's going to be a big one. And that is the double checking this, but that is the only time that the Buckeyes and the Fighting Illini play each other this year. So it's going to be at Illinois. It's going to be a Thursday night game. I'm really interested to see how that one plays out, to see how it's a fantastic environment. I love that arena, and that's going to be a heavyweight match. I mean, I'm not as high on Illinois as everybody is. I might have them a rung or maybe a spot lower than everybody else. I feel like, yes, it's good to get Kofi Coburn back, but I feel like Ohio State made him look very mortal basically every time he's played Ohio State, or at least for the most part. And I felt that, I mean, Andre Curbelo is a star, and I think he's going to have an unbelievable season. But I'm just not totally sold on Illinois like some people are. So I just think that that's a good – that's sort of maybe one of the first real heavyweight games for Ohio State, because the schedule does open rather favorably. You start Big Ten play December 5th at Penn State. You host Wisconsin 6 days later, which I don't have any real expectations for Wisconsin this year. And then Ohio State opens at Nebraska and then at Indiana, which is which nicely dovetails into my number three game, is Ohio State at Indiana on Thursday, January 6th. I think Indiana is a team that is going to be better than maybe you might expect based on the last couple of years and also based on having a first-year coach. But I think that's a deep, talented Indiana roster. I think Mike Woodson did a really good job holding on to like a Trace Jackson Davis. I think if they can make some shots, they're going to be dangerous. And I think Indiana could potentially be a tournament team. And you're going to get the full brunt of that on a Thursday night in Bloomington, January 6th. And it's also the first chance we will get to potentially see Thad Matta in Indiana basketball gear. Hoping we can catch up with Thad before that game. But it'll be the first matchup of the Hoosiers and the Buckeyes since Mike Woodson hired Thad as the associate athletic director for men's basketball, I believe is his full title. So I've got that game on my calendar. I've got them all, but that, I've got that at number three. Number two, Sunday, February 6th, Ohio State hosts Maryland. And I think this is going to be a really good Maryland team. And I just talked about how the game on Thursday, February 24th at Illinois is going to be sort of a heavyweight match. I think I've got Maryland as a top four, top five Big Ten team this year. And I think that that's going to be another sort of middle of the season test for Ohio State to see where the Buckeyes fit. Because, like I said, most projections have them top three, top four in the Big Ten. I think Maryland is right there knocking on that door. They've did really well in the transfer portal this offseason. It's a team that Ohio State has had some issues with, but they've generally done well against the Terrapins at home. And it'll be a Sunday game. Should be a decent crowd. I think that's a good measuring stick for Ohio State. And that comes after Ohio State will host Iowa on Thursday, February 3rd. Don't really know what to make of the Hawkeyes. Could be a long year for Fran McCaffrey's bunch. But so I like Ohio State's chances there. And again, that's coming. That's three games removed from a game at Minnesota. So if you really want to talk about like a winnable stretch of games, Ohio State, after it goes to Indiana, will host Northwestern on Sunday, January 9th, go to Wisconsin on Thursday, January 13th, host Penn State on the 16th, host Nebraska on the 22nd, then go to Minnesota on the 27th. So that, I mean, those are all bottom, middle to bottom rung Big Ten teams. They go to Purdue on January 30th, and that's going to be, I think, that's going to be tough. Just to put it bluntly, I mean, that's, you know, when you're Ohio State and you get Purdue only once and it's on the road, and you get Illinois once and it's on the road, that's a little bit of a tough draw for you, and that's the magic of the unbalanced schedule. I'm very excited about that Purdue game, but I think that's going to be a tall order, so it doesn't make my top five, but certainly that's going to be, should be an awesome game. And then finally, number one, Ohio State ends this season with Michigan State and Michigan on Thursday, March 3rd, and then Michigan on Sunday, March 6th. And I really want to see what Ohio State, it should be a really good season for Ohio State, whether Ohio State's in the running for a Big Ten title at this point. I think Michigan will be in the running for a Big Ten title at this point. Maybe it's already decided, maybe it's not. But the way that Ohio State-Michigan game played out last year in Columbus and how unbelievable of a game that was, to have another chance to get the Wolverines at home, this time with a crowd and this time on senior day, I think that that has the potential to be a really special day at Value City Arena. And when I sit here on September 8th and think ahead to March 6th, I picture just Value City Arena filled and, you know, emotions with seeing, like, you know, all the so many guys in this team that senior day for. I mean, there's just so much there, I think, as well as a chance to really stamp a regular season with some authority and a game against your primary basketball rival. I think that's fair to say. Maybe it's Indiana. I don't know. Maybe that's another podcast, but mark me down for that one. I mean, that's just, I don't know how much more needs to be said. I just think that opportunity and that matchup, and also the chance to do better on senior day. Ohio State under Holtman in 4 years is 2-2 on senior day. And that includes, the loss, the tough loss last year against Illinois, 73-68, a game that Ohio State very much had in hand, and then it got out of hand. Dwayne Washington really struggled the last couple of minutes of that game. And then you go back to 2019, Ohio State, after beating Iowa at home on February 26th, got blown out at Purdue, lost at Northwestern, and then came home. And this is when Caleb Weston was suspended. came back and played Wisconsin at home and was getting blown out, forced overtime with a just crazy run to close regulation, and then lost 73-67 in overtime. So that was at least an entertaining game, a lot of fight in that game. It was a tough way for CJ Jackson to go out, but it was an entertaining game, to say the least. But like I said, Ohio State 2-2 in four senior day games under Chris Holtman. So Michigan this year gives them a chance to go to 3-2. One other quick thing to pass along, Cade Bates-Diop has signed a 2-year contract with the San Antonio Spurs, which is where he was last season. So he'll have a chance now in camp. We'll see what he's able to do, what sort of role he's able to carve out. But, you know, at the moment, you would expect that the three of the freshman year roommates, Cade Bates-Diop, D'Angelo Russell, Jayshon Tate, all playing in the NBA this year. And I think that's a pretty neat thing right there. So now I'm going to get out of here so we can get this published and into your ears. As always, you can send along your questions, your comments, your love notes, your hate mail, and otherwise constructive criticism to me at Adam Jardy on Twitter or ajardy@dispatch.com. Thank you, as always, for listening. Thank you to Patrick Flaherty, the Podfather, for putting this together. I will be back with you sometime early next week, I would assume. So until then, take care.
The Buckeye Extra Podcast is made possible by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra Podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.